Game on 2FM with Green Firm. Fuel your day with Green Firm's new high-protein cooked chicken breast fillets. 100% natural and packed with flavour.
Thanks to the fantastic Jenny Green for dragging us all over the hump of the week. It's Wednesday, the 14th of April, and this is Game On.
2 years on from stunning Barcelona, Liverpool are in need of another Anfield miracle against Real Madrid in the Champions League tonight.
Brilliant pass from Toni Kroos, outstanding, but we've seen that before from him. Got to be switched on, your head's got to be on a swivel, and the communication's got to be spot on between the opposition defenders there. On that occasion it wasn't, and Liverpool have paid the penalty.
As preparations continue for Ireland's pivotal Six Nations Pool B clash with France in Donnybrook on Saturday, we're joined live by Irish centre Sené Nupu.
Good, solid scrum from Ireland again. They're starting to get a nudge on. Dane wastes no time getting rid of it. It'll pop to Sené Nupu. Now Nupu for the line. You won't stop her from there. Ireland, the bonus point wrapped up already, and Sené Nupu gets in on the try-scoring act.
And Damien Lawler is with us for his regular Wednesday GAA roundup.
Game on 2FM.
If you want to get in touch, please do so. You can text us, as always, on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM. Donica, you must be feeling great today. But hang on, for anyone that doesn't know why, have a listen to this.
On to Hurley, here's Zeebo in a bit of space. Amani's outside him. Oh, through goes Zeebo! Zeebo gets the try! That is superb!
Bigger has a look cross-field, but delays it. You don't get that opportunity, and Rory Best is away, and Best passes it outside, and he's slipped, and Zeebo! Oh, what a piece of skill from Simon Zeebo!
Donica, I thought you were going to have your Munster rugby jersey on today, like a retro style from the good old days.
He'd rather I wore a Blackrock hurling or a St. Michael's hurling or a football jersey or whatever it is. So, yeah, it's brilliant news, Marie. It really is. It's fantastic. It's a brilliant bit of work by David Nusafora and Johan van Gran. And 100% he's going to bring X Factor on the pitch like he always does. I think the trip to the time in Racing will be brilliant for him, because I think he will have other experiences. But I'd be completely honest, from a monster and from a man with young kids in the game, what a guy to get back in it. He's like the equivalent to Simon Gagan when I was growing up, just someone that you look to and makes you want to play the game. So Zeebs has X Factor on it, but off it he's so generous with his time, and he creates a buzz, and I'm delighted to see him back in red and green.
Red and green.
Well, it's going to be difficult for him, but that's what he's coming back with aspirations to do, Marie. I know, like, it's the rugby world is very small, really, and agents and clubs and everyone talks, really. And I know from chats earlier on today that there is clubs and teams with big, deep pockets that would have loved him. And Simon isn't coming back for financial reasons. He could have got a bigger contract, a longer contract somewhere else. And some part of me thinks that's beautiful, that he wants to come home. He wants to play at home. He wants to play for teams. And I know his drive. He'll want to play for Ireland. And look, it's a really competitive place. And it's going to be competitive for him in Munster as well. But what he's got, I don't think too many people have. In the big moments, he can go off script and just make something special happen. And the more I learn about rugby as it's gone on, you need a few X-factor players. I think that's what the likes of maybe Exeter and a few of them are missing. And this is one of our own homegrown guys coming back. So full credit again, Johan van Gran, David Nusafora. It would have been easy to say 31 years of age, let's look at the depth chart here, let's not get him back. But I think this is a win for the fans.
And even for himself, you know, to come home, to go back to Munster, to bring his family back, to be around his friends, and to be aiming for that green jersey. It's brilliant for him as well, because, like, you know yourself, like, there's no place like home, and he says that in his statement as well. There's no place like Munster. It's exactly where he wants to be. But a one-year contract, Donica, we have had so many conversations about what the length of contracts mean and who do they serve best. So what does this mean?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. If I was Simon Zeebo's agent or brother, I'd be worried for him. I'd be telling him go for the bigger deals that were out there for them. But I think what we've seen over the last while with the likes of CJ, and we're hearing other players, like even Graham Rowntree, realising that a Lions tour would take him away from his family for a bit of time. Steve Wardwick, I think players, and COVID has done this, had given people a bit of time to reflect what's important to them, and what's important to Simon is his family and getting back and being around his parents and playing with his friends. You know, he is tight with that group, and I think he'll get a better beat out of some of them. They're like himself and Conor Murray are nearly telepathic when it comes to running off each other. I think Conor Murray will be delighted he's back. Everyone's going on at the moment that Conor kicks too much. Well, Conor won't be kicking when you've someone like Sebo sniffing in for scores. So look, it's brilliant news. I know this sounds terrible, but away from rugby, he's such a good person. Like, small things he does. There isn't a young fella around Cork or Limerick that hasn't spent time with him. He's the last guy in off a training pitch. He's the first guy to give away his boots, his gear. He's a decent guy. And look, I'm kind of glad that my kids will see him in red, you know, because we cheer for him when he togs out for Racing, but it's not the same.
Definitely not the same. I, in his statement today as well, he said that he can't wait to get back into the dressing room. Like, I'd love to see footage of that moment when he comes back into the dressing room, like just seeing him coming home. I could just imagine him, and also imagine the lift he's going to give everybody around him.
Yeah, and he'll walk in like he owns it, and that's the thing about Simon. Even from a very young age, you know, just his confidence. And at the start, probably I was a little bit worried about it, but it's not false, it's not put on. That's the way he is, and he's an incredible, positive, upbeat guy. He likes to have a bit of fun. I think he'll walk in like he always ruled it. Of course, what I like as well, there's a lovely dynamic with himself and Keith Earls. They're going for Munster's top try scorer, and that is, I'll be honest, there's a few records that people know will never be beaten. Ron O'Gara's one for most points scored, but that's one that is massively fought after, because Axel always held it, then Anthony Horgan had it, so the real proper Munster men have been there. So the two of them going for that's going to be brilliant to see.
I saw a funny tweet today that there's only one try between them, that Keith Earls is just one try behind him, and as soon as Zeebo saw that, he was like, I'm coming home, like, I'm not going to let this happen.
But it's a brilliant, and that's what you need. Yeah, like, you need competition for places. And look, that Munster back three, there is an awful lot of young talent. What we've learned from Zeebo's time with Racing, though, is that he's played in a few different positions. We've seen him in centre. I love him at fullback, Marie. I know I'm probably stirring it a little bit, but I just think when it comes to broken field running, he just gets a little bit more space in there. He's less likely as well to put a boot on a ball. His first instinct always is to run it and look for gaps. So I think,
where is his favourite position?
I'd be honest, I'd say if you ask the guy, he'd want to get as close as he can to the ball. He would play at number 8 if he could, but I don't know, his breakdown work mightn't be as desirable, or his work rate in those areas. Look, he's a complete finisher, so he is a winger. I just think sometimes when I see him a fullback, I just love that his first instinct is to run. The other thing, Marie, is I think spending time with the quality, like, you look at that Racing backline, like, all the biggest names in world rugby are there, but he's been the star of that backline. He's been the guy that's lifted his game. I remember the semi-final where he scored 2 tries and they took him off. I was kind of going, what are you doing? Because he's the guy that gets a hat-trick, you know, he's the guy that pushes himself on. So look, it's fantastic news. It's fantastic news for Irish rugby, it's fantastic news for Munster rugby, but even rugby aside, it's great for the game. Just have, you need personalities, you know it as well. Mm-hmm. We're trying to attract kids to play games. You need guys that do it with a smile, and that you know make kids want to put on their jerseys.
I told
boots.
My little boys today that Simon Zeebo was coming back, and only the eldest fella would know who he is. And I said, oh, he's Munster's top try scorer. And the 6-year-old goes, he's got a really great name too, Mum. But it's funny the things that they pick up on.
But I was collecting Jake from St. Anthony's today, and I'm coming out of the school, and I know some of the lads from, I help out with the Cork On under-7s, and I know a few of your lads are in Sunday as well and stuff like that, and they were like, Donner, Zeebo's coming back. You know what I mean? But
it's actually the thing that you go around telling people today, really. It is that type of news. But there was a little bit more news from Munster today, and it probably isn't going to get any coverage really because of Zeebo. Yeah. But Ian Costello has been appointed to the role of the Munster Academy manager. It was expected, it was touted a bit in the weeks running up to this announcement today.
Yeah, and again, super news. Ian, he would have been involved under Anthony Foley and that coaching ticket. Would have spent an awful lot of time with him. He's attended, of course, it's nearly a sinful thing to say now, but his attention to detail. But what he's done, and what I like, Marie, is he's added strings to his bow. He's gone to England. He spent time, you know, in the divisions down there, but he's also spent time in Wasps. He's learned more to it. And look, Peter Malone has done an incredible job at the Munster Academy. We're seeing fruition of some of the talent that's coming through, and now Ian Costlow to take it on, I think, is a brilliant man. He's a Munster man that will get it, will understand it, and that can certainly add to it. So that was fantastic news to hear that as well today. Of course, he's not as box office, box office as Simon Zeebo,
but who is Donegal? That's the thing.
Yeah, but he a really important job, Marie. That is such an important job, because we know that the homegrown talent that's coming through at the moment is helping us to do so well, but we need probably another push to make it, you know, up to the next level. So Cozzy, as he's known to everyone, because you have to have a nickname, and Ian Costello.
A little bit of news as well, more rugby news, but we were kind of awaiting confirmation about the Women's Six Nations game between Ireland and France, but the IRFU have confirmed that it will go ahead. It had been in doubt because France is on the government's list of mandatory hotel quarantine for incoming travellers, but they have sorted that out and the match goes ahead, and it will be on RTE Sport on Saturday. Now,
just before we go, just so that I'm not biased about Leinster, there was five of their players today announced on the shortlist for the EPCR European Player of the Year. So Tadhg Furlong, Robbie Henshaw, Hugo Keane and Josh van der Fleer have all been shortlisted for this 15. Go on.
And while we're at it, I signed two of my children up today for the Leinster Rugby camp, so they can't accuse us of being biased anymore. Now let's turn our attention to football, because it is a very busy Champions League night, and I'm delighted to say that Lisa Fallon and Tony O'Donoghue are with us now, and we're going to get to that shortly, Tony, but I do want to mention the Northern Ireland women's team reaching the Euros with the very familiar face in charge, Kenny Shields. What an achievement by the team and by Kenny as well.
It was an amazing achievement, and fair play to them. I mean, this is a team that had to be re-instigated in 2004. There was no football going on there. Kenny Shields is a terrific guy, and I'm delighted for him and them. But I have to say, it comes with a little bit of, I wish the Republic of Ireland girls had made it, because, you know, we should have beaten Ukraine. You know, we had that dreadful OG and missing a penalty, and I wish Northern Ireland nothing but the best in the European Championships. They'll be our team now for the Championships, but I really feel, gosh, you know, if the Republic of Ireland had come up against Northern Ireland, I would say we'd have been raging hot favourites. But take nothing away from the North's achievement. They've done it, and they're going to be there at the finals. It's going to be amazing for them.
Yeah, it really will. And Lisa, I think we talk quite a lot about how important it is for our women's footballers to be playing away, to be playing at the top level, to be playing in America, to be playing in the Super League in the UK. But then you look at this Northern Ireland team, and 14 of a squad of 23 playing the Northern Ireland League. Six of them were in that starting 11.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really teaches you everything you need to know about belief and having confidence. And I mean, you bear in mind that they haven't played any competitive football since December. So I think they had one friendly last month against England, and that was all the preparation that they had in terms of playing competitively, and they had to prepare for these playoffs by playing 11v11s and doing training camps, home-based training camps. So and I mean, not only that, eight of the players who started the campaign were actually injured, so they were, to say that they were under strength is probably an understatement as well. And particularly the highly influential Rachel Furness, she plays for Liverpool, and she is such an inspirational player for them. And a lot of people, anyone who would have seen the footage last night would have seen her. She was the player on crutches and in the boot. You know, such an important player for them. But you know what they did was just, you know, really, really admirable, and no excuses. You know, they lost four players in 3 weeks leading up to these games. They made no excuses. They just got on with it, worked, put down the details, and they've got their rewards, and fair play to them.
Tony, for a while it felt like the Ireland qualifying for a major tournament seemed like it was almost unattainable or something that was really far away because they had never done it before. But I think seeing Northern Ireland doing it now and seeing what they're able to achieve with what they have, and even seeing Kenny Shields being the manager and putting that all together, would just make you think that, you know, this Ireland team can do it too and should do it too.
It's something that Vera Pauw has spoken of in the last week, especially, you know, against the likes of Denmark and Belgium, just that little bit of belief that we perhaps didn't believe in our heart of hearts that we could have beaten Ukraine that time, and those are the little details that went against us. But you know, Kenny Shields, I remember him from his days in charge of Derry City. He's certainly an interesting man, a man that loves the motivational speech, and I'm sure he did plenty of that. I saw watch an interview with him earlier today, and he's inspiring, and he said he could hardly sleep with worry, and then as soon as he arrived at the ground, he suddenly felt a calm, and he thought, we're going to do it. And so he must have got that across to the girls as well. But the belief they showed and the skill they showed, mm-hmm. I mean, we can't take away from that either, and now they've got their reward. And I do think, you know, as we've seen the rise of women's football, I was lucky enough to have been at the last World Cup. I think these European Championships are going to be huge in terms of visibility and in terms of what it'll do for you know, growing the game even further. And as I say, I just have a huge regret that I wish it was us.
Yeah, I think you speak for everybody when you say that, Tony, but hopefully when the World Cup draw comes around in the next few weeks and we see the fixtures, that it'll be, there'll be a way for the Republic of Ireland to get to the next World Cup, because I do think it's going to be absolutely massive and it would be super to be part of it. Lisa, before we move on to the Champions League as well, I just want to give a nod to Graham Burke's goal for Shamrock Rovers last night against Derry City. It's getting a huge amount of love online for the pure skill and execution of it.
Yeah, and the vision to see it, and then you know, it's one thing to see it, it's another to be able to actually execute it and do it. And you know, it's actually lovely just to see another one of those beauts going viral, and it comes from our league. You know, we had Jordan Flores, we've had Stephanie Roach, we've had a fair few beauts coming from the boots of players in this country on National League ground, and it's great to see it. And you know, he deserves all the accolades because it's a great strike. And but Graham Burke is a very talented player. You know, he produces top quality goals when he scores them. It's very seldom he scores a tap in, that's for sure. But yeah, no, it's great, and it's great that it's another great advocate for, you know, the football that we get to see in the League of Ireland.
Tony, we often have Conan Byrne on this show, and he tweeted last night he was welcoming to the club because he did something very similar. But which one was better?
Oh, will you stop? I mean, I'm a great admirer of Conan's, but really, Lisa said it there, the vision and the imagination. I mean, Derry looked like they were on the ball. He stuck at it, and then as the ball dropped, literally on the halfway line, he saw the goalkeeper was off his line. He had the technique, he had the imagination to even consider it, and the technique to follow it through. It was an outstanding goal, it really was, and it deserves the widest world
actually,
audience it can get.
You know, Tony, I should probably jump in there and mention Kieran Sadlier's one that he scored in Richmond Park for Cork City against St. Pat's, because
that one was an exceptional one.
We were treated last night to some really good football, and in the PSG Bayern Munich match, I think I probably speak for everyone, Tony, when I say I just couldn't take my eyes off Neymar last night. He really was on form.
It was like he was, I don't know, having an audition or something. I mean, is he moving on or not? He really was in the zone, wasn't he? And some of that match looked like an exhibition game, despite how much pressure was on, despite how much was riding on it. And I thought PSG did a brilliant performance, a very professional performance. Bayern Munich, I think, sadly, the loss of Lewandowski showed last night. They tried everything they could to score. But that's been a very efficient PSG, not a word we might have associated with them. They also had all the flair as well. So I guess they'll be looking tonight to see who is it between Dortmund and Man City that they're going to face in the semi-final.
Lisa, just on the game last night, Tony mentioned it, just the performance. As a coach, are you looking at that, seeing a structure? Because when I was watching it, it was just like they were told, go play.
Oh, listen, I was a bit like the first leg last week. It was just like a shootout, wasn't it? It was just end-to-end, pure attacking football, taking risks. And, you know, it's just, it takes a lot of courage to play your, to play the game that way, because if you're going to score goals and take those risks, you're going to concede them as well. And it's about having that belief and giving that licence to attacking players. But then, to be fair, if I had Kylian Mbappe and Neymar and players like that in my squad, I'd probably take a few more risks as well. But that's the thing. Like, I mean, when you've got players of that quality, they bring an unpredictability that you just love to see. And listen, yeah, look, there's certain structures there, but even the best structures in the world won't deny top class, and that's why we love this competition and we love watching those types of games. And, you know, they're just the best games to watch, aren't they?
Tony, the other game, unfortunately, wasn't as good. There was very few risks taken. Actually, with an hour gone, I don't think either side had even taken a shot on goal.
Yeah, I mean, that one ended up 1-0, but it was a nil all game and everything, mm-hmm. but the scoreline, wasn't it? Yeah. And I guess from a Chelsea point of view, they'll be happy with that. It was weird having, you know, the fact that the games, it was an away game, but it wasn't an away game, if you know what I mean. There's talk of the away goal being scrapped completely. Which would be interesting. I think that's a brilliant part of European football and the Champions League in particular. And I'd hate to see it go, but certainly there's been talk about maybe when a game goes into extra time in the second leg, that then the away goal is going to be removed. That might happen very soon, in fact, but it'll happen for obviously the start of next season.
Lisa, you're a former club Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel, are you seeing much that you like from him? Do you think that he's being a success?
Yeah, I think in fairness to them, as Tony said there, look, they managed the game superbly last night, 2-0 up. They took no chances, kept it tight, and they just made it so, so difficult for Porto to create anything. I just thought they managed the game really well. And I really think N'Golo Kante, it was a bit of a masterclass from him, just his game awareness, the way he positions himself, and he never stopped working, and he really encapsulated that work ethic and that dirty work that you need to do in order to manage a game in that way. But I think when you talk about Tuchel, like, you have to be impressed with him. Like, I mean, Chelsea were ninth in the Premier League when he took over back in January, and now they're within a point of the top four. They're in the FA Cup semi-finals. They're now into Champions League semi-final. So, you know, you can't argue with what he's done since he's gone in there, you know. And I think it's admirable, and the players seem to have really bought into it, and they consistently talk about knowing their roles and knowing exactly what's expected of them. And, you know, he seems to run a really tight ship there, and, you know, I think, look, results speak for themselves, apart from the blot against West Brom, that 5-2 defeat. You know, he hasn't really put a foot wrong.
Tony, we mentioned Graham Burke's goal, but for Porto to score a consolation goal like that is fairly spectacular.
Yeah, it was spectacular, all right, wasn't it? Yeah, and I think there's more weighting to a goal in a way. I think when it's more important. But unfortunately, as technical and as wonderful a strike as it was, it didn't really matter. And the Yanks call that garbage time, you know, when there's a goal scored and the game is up, so to speak. So as technically good as it was, I take a little bit off it for its lack of impact on the result.
It didn't mean anything, is what you're saying. Anyone can do it when it doesn't mean anything, Tony.
This is way better.
Well, tonight's game does mean a lot. Liverpool, Real Madrid. We mentioned at the top of the show how they're well able to pull off unbelievable comebacks. But, Tony, it does feel like a little bit different. The crowd's not being there. Just Liverpool's inconsistency this season. Jurgen Klopp said himself that they need a perfect performance. Can they pull it off?
And I think Robertson said that as well, didn't he? Can they pull it off? Ooh. You see, they only have to score two goals, if you want to put it that way, but that's suggesting that Real Madrid don't score, and Liverpool's defence at the moment, I can't see them keeping a clean sheet this evening, in which case Liverpool have to score four goals. And it's a different Anfield when it's full and the Kop End is singing. And, you know, I'm very lucky, I have to say, having been to some of these extraordinary nights, and Anfield is probably the best. I mean, you know, Man United fans will say at their height, but it's not the same as Anfield on a Champions League night where the cop can almost suck the ball into the net, and they've had those great nights and those great moments. I mean, they are the comeback kings. I mean, who'll ever forget the Barcelona game? But even, you know, in other games, and Anfield has been a spiritual part of that, you could call it that. I mean, you know, where the emotion is channeled, where the players' energy and the crowd's energy is all comes together as one, and an empty Anfield and a depleted Liverpool, I think that's a step too far. Real Madrid showed in the first leg, you know, they're the old dogs of the hard road in a way. You know, the fact that Toni Kroos and Luka Modric ran that game as if they were up against a team many divisions below them in a way. So it's going to take a mighty, mighty Liverpool performance. But I think they were too sloppy the first leg. They, you know, didn't have enough pressure on the ball. Their usual high press seemed to be gone. So I think it's a bridge too far. I really do. I mean, you know, we can talk. He spent the entire season without him practically. But, you know, the loss of Van Dijk, the loss of Gomez, the loss of Matip, Henderson missing is going to be huge still because they need leadership. Will Milner come in tonight? Even Origi missing. They're, you know, I think, unfortunately, from a Liverpool fans' point of view, it will be a bridge too far this evening.
Lisa, no crowd, no emotional buy-in like Tony was saying, but it's still only two goals is what they need. Surely Klopp would be positive about that. I know without the crowd, but it's still Liverpool and Anfield.
Yeah, but I think the crowd is a huge factor. I think the crowd is just, it's a different dimension, as Tony said, when it comes to Anfield. And I'm certain that Real Madrid will see, you know, I think it's a massive bonus for Madrid that there's no crowd in Anfield, you know, despite it only being two goals. And to be fair, if it was this time last year and we were saying Liverpool only need two goals, you'd be backing them 100%. You'd be like, listen, there's no, you know, they'll definitely score two goals. This year, it's a different animal altogether. You know, they've been so erratic in their form. They've been inconsistent, you know, and as Tony alluded to there, like one of the most surprising things for me last week was how they had played such a high line and just had no pressure on the ball. And I mean, that's the basics. Like that's not even elite level stuff. That's basic stuff. And for a team like Liverpool, not be able to get pressure on the ball. And I mean, the first goal was brilliant. Toni Kroos's ball, you know, straight on top of Trent Alexander-Arnold and Phillips. And, you know, when you look at the quality of the finishes from Vinicius and from Asensio for the three goals, but really, Liverpool had no pressure on the ball. It was just something missing. There was a lacklustre, you know, there was no appetite from the forward players to get that early pressure on the ball. And that's been a huge, huge part of the way Liverpool play. You can't play high line if you don't have pressure on the ball. And I just think it'll be really interesting to see, well, we would have to see a different attitude tonight, that they, you know, see that hunger and that tenacity to get after the ball and make sure that those free passes can't be made. But you can't allow players of that quality to play like that. And, you know, Real Madrid's form had been maybe a little bit indifferent. Did Liverpool underestimate them? I don't know, but it was a really lacklustre performance.
I think so many people underestimate Real Madrid, you know? I mean, the fact that they won it 3 years in a row.
It's a funny statement, isn't it, Tony, to even say
yeah,
that?
It is. It's crazy. You can't underestimate players of that quality. And you know what? If you were sitting in that dressing room, the Real Madrid dressing room, reading the press and reading the build-ups, you'd be going, they've all written us off.
And you know, the cult of the manager is such a big thing these days, and the amount of times we talk about how important the manager is, and the manager's personality seems to impose itself on the game. Jurgen Klopp, the prime example, perhaps. Zidane, like, who was always one of my favourite players. When people talk about the greatest players of all time and that he's not in the conversation, I find that amazing because I just loved him as a player and what he could do. And as a manager, what does he do? He goes and wins stuff all the time in a very quiet way, and not many people give him credit for it.
Well, tonight is the big game on the big stage, so it'll be interesting to see if Liverpool can do what Lisa Fallon is suggesting and step up and bring that performance. So, Tony, just as well, Man City and Borussia Dortmund is the other game, and I suppose we're not really talking about Borussia Dortmund too much because Man City have been so clinical, okay, last weekend aside, but up to that anyway, they had been just kind of blitzing it and just showing that they were on a mission this season. Will they get it done tonight?
Ooh, you see, I think this one is much more finely balanced. I mean, it's going to be a toss-up for me to know which game I'd want to watch, you know, in real time, so to speak. And I think there's more chance of an upset in this one. And then, I've just been talking about the cult of the manager, then the narrative will be Pep Guardiola. He's blown it again. Mm. You know, he's never reached the semi-finals at Manchester City, beaten in the quarter-finals the last 3 years by Liverpool, Tottenham, Lyon. And he can't seem to make that extra step up. And I think for him to be deemed a success at Man City, as good and all as they've been, it probably will have to beat the quadruple this year. I think they're under a bit of pressure. Yeah, they're leading by 2-1, but you have a Dortmund side which I'm dying to see Haaland again. Now, you know, he is an extraordinary player. The subplot here is this his second audition to go to Manchester City in the summer, because it looks like the big clubs have been made aware, those with a big enough checkbook, that he is for sale, because his father and his agent very publicly went to Spain to have chats with Real Madrid and Barcelona. But it's only the likes of you know, a PSG perhaps, or a Man City that may be able to afford this prodigious talent at 20 years of age. He's astonishing. He's scored against every side he's played against in the Champions League. He hasn't scored against City yet. Tonight could be the night.
Okay, well, we will find out very soon. Both of those games kick off at 8 o'clock. Tony O'Donoghue and Lisa Fallon, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take a very quick break and then we're back with rugby.
With Green Farm, naturally good food packed with protein.
Game on 2FM.
Now, welcome back. So it has been reported that Saturday's women's Six Nations game between Ireland and France in Donnybrook will go ahead. That is according to the IRFU. But Paul Cunningham from RTE News has tweeted to say that the new government system enabling professional elite athletes to avoid mandatory hotel quarantine is unlikely to be finalised until tomorrow. Sport Ireland and the HSC will oversee a regime where sporting bodies apply to secure access to systems for athletes. So that seems to be very much still a developing story. Now we are joined on the line by Ireland rugby player Seni Naiopu. Seni, I presume you're just preparing for the game to go ahead anyway.
Hi Marie, how are you? Thanks for having me on the show. 100%, you know, us as players, we're well used to being adaptable and flexible, and as a group over the last sort of 12 months.
Okay, John.
You know, we're... Oh, sorry.
That's Damien Lawler. He's mad keen.
Oh, hi, Monica. How are you?
I'm very good. You? Well done.
Oh, great to hear from you. We are preparing as it is going to be played, Marie.
And so you should, because I'd say now at this stage it will get sorted. It looks like it's very, very close to being sorted, so we will be keeping an eye on that over the next while or so. But look, Seni, I think last weekend you blew us all away. I don't know, I think we weren't sure what to expect because there'd been so little action, there'd been loads of training, very, very little rugby played, but you just came out all guns blazing with an absolutely amazing performance against Wales.
Look, I think it provided a glimpse of how hard we've been working over the last number of months as a full squad effort. But look, it was, you know, it was a good start, and we have a huge challenge ahead this weekend, and the team's on a journey together, and we're just looking to make improvements each week. So while it was certainly a pleasing and positive start, and one that for most of the game we were happy with, certainly there's areas that we know ourselves we can be better. But yeah, it was a positive start, and so we'll be looking to build on that for this weekend.
Seni, because everyone was talking about the amount of training camps he'd been through, but to actually hit match pace that quickly, is, I know how difficult that is. You know, you can be fit, but rugby fit, you're on the beat straight away.
Oh, thanks, Donna. Karen, it's great to get feedback like that from yourself and Marie. Look, we've been blessed with the opportunity to still come together and train like this over the last number of months. And I think us as a group, we've come closer. I think we're closer as a team, and we're pretty much family, really, because that's our bubble. And, you know, with that comes that sort of level of, it kind of heightens that level of playing for each other. And so every time we're there at camps, we know that we need to train the house down every session we get. So, you know, that happens when you make that a habit, and we're just looking to build on that week by week and continue to learn from what we can be better at and to push our standards higher and higher each time. But, yeah, certainly it's one of those things where we knew that was our opportunity. We'd been itching for a game for a long, long time. A number of the girls across the entire squad have been training the house down. And that 23 that got to represent Ireland at that weekend, we were doing a job for the full squad. And not even just the players, but management and all of the work, operations that go behind the scene to make this as seamless as possible for us as players and for us to then focus our energy on one job, and that was to perform. Kira Griffin, before we walked out on that pitch in that first half, put the roof off and we were ready to go after that.
It sounds like she gave some speech there, I'd say, Sene. But even when you look, okay, like you looked in absolutely brilliant shape, and Stronica said you got to the pace of the game so quickly, but you could actually tell that you'd spent a huge amount of time together, that there was a lot of really good communication. It was like you were almost in sync, like it was a bit of telepathy going on there with some of the plays that we saw.
Yeah, it's great to hear that from you. It's been a long time coming, that, you know, we're on a journey together over the years, and it's one of those things where we feel extremely fortunate that we have world-class coaches, world-class facilities. We've had more time together. You know, we've had opportunities to hone in on some detail that maybe, you know, for other campaigns we might not have had that level of, you know, opportunity time-wise. So we've just been relishing every moment we get. I think, you know, holistically, when you look at it and when you think about it, you know, look, us as female rugby players, we appreciate everything we have. And I think that's actually married itself into a way that, from a performance perspective, we've been able to demonstrate most of that. But look, we've more to learn, more to give. And this weekend provides us another test at that against the quality French side.
Just on Marie's point there, I think it's a bit of trust, though, especially when I was watching it, I could see Hannah might look to expose the blind side, and you're stepping up there as first pair of hands. You know, is that just spending time together, or is that something you're actively working on, that you get in and play first receiver a lot?
Oh, Donica,
yeah,
Hannah and I have played a long time together, trained a long time together with sevens. Both of us are involved in the Sevens program for a number of years, training and playing on the World Series, and they're now together on the 15s pitch, very similar to the other Sevens girls, but and 15s girls that are there. And, you know, with that time comes understanding how each other play, and it's something that, you know, with the other 10s and the other kind of combinations we have across the units, very similar, but certainly in those key positions, Catherine Dane included in our 9s, 10s, 12s, things are really, really, really starting to gel, starting to, you know, pick out details that we need to be better from a tactical point of view, which is super. And it's at a time where we really have been afforded the opportunity to take this team and this squad to another level. So I think that's their level of trust and I suppose, you know, the game understanding and awareness, and then sort of being around each other for combination of a number of years, and then also with some other players over the number of months that we've had together has meant that we've maximised that.
There was a lot of brilliant individual performances to go with the team performance, but I have to say I really enjoyed watching Hannah make that number 10 jersey her own. I just felt that this was a game to see her be so confident, to be able to take risks, and just to seem to know the nuts and the bolts of a position that's not that easy to master.
Yeah, you're right. It's not an easy position to master at all, and someone like Stacey Flood, for example, from the Sevens, to come in and earn her cap at 10, that wasn't an easy feat either. But certainly, yeah, Hannah Tyrrell has been working extremely hard, you know, behind the scenes, around the detail side of things, managing the game. And certainly our other teams that we have in the squad, it's competition all across the squad, which is just the best place to be for all of us and for Ireland in general. And, you know, last weekend, I think Hannah certainly took her chance, and full credit to the full squad who are pushing each other week in, week out for that opportunity. I'm really, really proud of Hannah, proud of her as a friend.
Marie would point out the person that drives the ship, but I was incredibly impressed with Dorothy Wall. I've never seen physicality like it. She was just knocking people around the place, and in a competitive back row, to have young players coming through like that must be incredible.
It's pretty to watch, eh? When you go forward like that's rugby in a nutshell, isn't it? If you go forward, if you win the game line and you get momentum, you're a bit closer to the try line, aren't you? And you're a bit closer to the goal line for a few points. So, yeah, certainly she plays a role very, very, very well for us. And even in that, you know, there's certain things that she knows herself that she can be a little bit better at. So, again, we're building the base. Week in, week out, and every game that we got an opportunity to do that. So, she's an exciting player. Certainly, there's a number of exciting players across our squad, that's for sure.
You really do. And for a while there, Senny, like, it was a transition period. It took a little bit of time to get that balance in the squad. But it must be really heartening to see so many young players to come into this group and to be able to perform at such a high level, and some of them at such a young age.
100%, and it's a testament, something that we're proud of, it's a testament to the environment that's created there, and it's taken time, and like anything meaningful, it takes time. And so in terms of, you know, the last number of years, what's worked, what hasn't, certainly over this last year we've established, you know, the environment that we need for us all to thrive. And it doesn't matter if you're an experienced player, if you're there for the first time. You know, you're part of that family, and everyone's valued, and everyone is there for themselves to thrive as an individual, for the collective. And certainly we have a collective goal as a squad, and we focus on how we build into that each week and each training session. But certainly we're proud of an environment that we've created, but certainly more to learn again, and to make sure that we keep driving fans and things like that as a leadership group. Kira Griffin is our captain, our leadership group, and our peer group as well, which is the engineers of us, like Izari Wars and everyone like that.
I know how tight you are as a group, and you look at areas you can improve on, but it was interesting listening to Emily Scarrow speaking after their brilliant win against Italy at the weekend, and she said, yeah, we rest up now and we look forward to playing France. I just, you know, just even that type of thinking that's going around, we know there's a separation in terms of they're fully professional, but just that bit of a mindset that we're not fully respected like we should be yet.
Oh, thanks, Monica. That's all good. You know, we control what we can control. And certainly, you know, one of the things in the last few days that I've been pleased about is that, you know, performance aside, us as players, we know we're better than some of the performance of the second half at 100%, and we know we'll sharpen the saw for the weekend. But certainly some changes in attitudes were around boys and men in households. I remember I've been getting messages and calls from colleagues or, you know, other workmates and that, you know, around the boys and the men in their households watching the game, and just couldn't believe, you know, some of the performance that we were able to put out. And I think, you know, it's in that, it's in the community level, it's in, like, here in Ireland around, I suppose, starting those conversations through visibility, which is why we're also talking here because of Guinness and the Neville Setter campaign, but certainly with what you're saying and other teams respecting whoever it is, that'll come. We'll earn it as it comes, and certainly with a job to do this weekend, and we'll see what they'll say after that.
So this weekend, you brought it up, it is an exciting one against France. Senny, how big a test is it going to be?
Yeah, it's another chance, really. Look, it's another chance to test ourselves against a quality team. You know, we're just relishing any moment we get in this moment in time to play games. And we're building as a squad, as I mentioned to you before, and we just focus on ourselves this weekend. But certainly it's a good chance for us to improve from last week and to build into the level of performance that we know we're capable of. So that's what we'll be asking of ourselves, and to execute a bit better.
Okay, Senny, well, we look forward to watching you. Best of luck. So Senny was helping launch the Guinness Never Settle campaign. Guinness is tackling the lack of visibility for women's sport and specifically representation of women in rugby, pledging to never settle until everyone feels like they belong in sport. We're going to take a very quick break, but first I have some Liverpool team news to run through. So the starting 11, Alisson, Alexander-Arnold, Phillips, Kabak, Robertson, Fabinho, Milner, Wijnaldum, Mane, Salah and Firmino. Right, very quick break, and then it is Damien Lawler.
FM. Game on 2FM with Green Farm. Fuel your day with Green Farm's new high-protein cooked chicken breast fillet. 100% natural and packed with flavour.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back. Now we are going to turn our attention to Gaelic games. Damien Lawler is with us. But before we get to chat to Damien, I want to play a clip of an interview that Damien did with former Tyrone footballer Mickey Coleman. The interview is up on RTE.ie, but it is worth having a listen to Mickey's story. There'll be plenty of people here who'll remember him from his Gaelic football days, but he's been through a very big challenge. And in this clip, he tells Damien exactly what happened to him.
I went out for a run. A 3 mile run that I do quite often around the town here in Pearl River. I got back from the run. I ate a sandwich. I started to take chest pains. I went upstairs to my wife, said that I was getting chest pains that I'd never felt before and pain in my jaw. So she called 911. When the paramedics arrived, I collapsed. So I was very lucky in the fact that I was only out for like a minute before they came to me. I then was rushed to Nyack Hospital, which I spent 3 days on a ventilator, which I don't remember anything about. I had a lump of plaque in my main artery, the left artery, that had peeled off and formed a clot, causing me to have the heart attack. They took me in, they done surgery, they put in a stent in the cath lab that night. And then I was on a ventilator for 3 days. I awoke after 3 days and went through a further surgery in another artery that was 70% blocked. So I was in hospital for like a week and a half, but thankfully I'm out the other side now and starting the recovery process. I've been very fortunate and very lucky that my wife reacted very quick and that the paramedics were here in time. The surgeon was saying there's a 6% survival rate from this type of heart attack. They call it a widow maker. So I'm very fortunate that I got through that. I'm very thankful.
Now that was Mickey Coleman, All-Ireland winner with Tyrone in 2003 and 2005, speaking to Damien Lawler from his base in New York. Damien, that wasn't a story I was expecting when I clicked on the Mickey Coleman link on RTE today. He's been through the ringer.
He has, Marie, and what he didn't mention in that clip is the journey to hospital from his house was traumatic. He flatlined 3 times on that journey. When he arrived in the hospital, the nurse that greeted him spent 6 minutes giving him CPR. She saw the wedding ring on his finger. She checked his chart. The paramedics informed her that he had 2 kids, Micheál and Reardon. And she just said to her colleagues, we have to keep this guy alive. He's got kids. And she worked on him and she worked on him. And I think the planets aligned for Mickey. The cath lab in the hospital that he refers to was only open that day. 24 hours earlier, that lab wouldn't have been open. And he would have been transferred to a different hospital. And who knows what would have happened in that process. It's really, really, like I was interviewing him probably this time last night, Marie. And well, it was one of those where you just sit back and listen to every word, and you're feeling for him. He's got 2 young kids, and you know, he said physically he'd be fine. You know, he'd built a gym in the bottom of his house, Marie. So basically, he's in New York 10 years. Went over, like so many Irish lads, you know, looking for a new life. Now is 80 people working for him. A talented singer, a talented musician. He actually sent me on a clip of himself playing the banjo last night after that interview. So to offset the stress, a 5:30 start every morning, get home at 7, see the kids, read them a bedtime story, put them to bed, go to the gym in the bottom of the garden, CrossFit, bicycles, treadmills, and he'd go for a 3-mile run then two or three times a week. He'd come back, have that sandwich he spoke about, watch RTE News, get all the Irish content and go off to bed for himself. So he actually thought he was doing everything right. And he was. The surgeon consultant told him that his fitness saved his life, essentially. But as regards what actually happened to him, it was nothing to do with lifestyle. It was just one of those things and how lucky he was. And like a privilege to talk to him. But I obviously left it a little while. I was very, very subtle about the way I approached him. And just said, in your own time, Mickey, would you give me a shout? We might have a chat. And he texts back saying, give me a ring tomorrow. And I did. And that was the story, Marie.
Damien, incredible. From, you know, to hear it, you mentioned the stars aligning and having the lab, but the nurse there, like that line and reading it, that this man is kids and we got to keep him alive, that attitude. Yeah. We talk about our frontline heroes all the time, but there it is in reality.
Unbelievable, Donica. And like that nurse came back to Mickey when he's been kind of let out of the hospital, released from the hospital, and she said, you're just, it's incredible to think you're the same man that came in here. And she told him who she was and she told him the work that she had done. And Donica and Marie, you know, you guys know this as well, anytime he mentioned his kids on the interview, like that's when it hit him. Mm-hmm. And he saw his two boys running around, and I suppose he thought of what might have been for the lads and Aaron without him, and what he would have missed out on. And that's traumatic, and it's going to take an awful long time to get over that. And, you know, the great thing about this country is all day I've been getting emails, one from a guy who went through a Widowmaker not so long ago and actually came around, did two triathlons in 2019, has never felt fitter, and wants to share his story with Mickey and ask for me to put Mickey in touch with him. So I got their email address and let them at it. And so that interest is there, and that human interest is there. But it comes back to the paramedics, the nurse and the consultants. As you say, Donica, every day we're depending on these people in these times. But Mickey needed it more than most.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that he is doing so well, and wish him all the best. We don't have a huge amount of time, Damien, but just very quickly, do you mind just bringing us up to date on where we are with fixtures?
Okay. Yeah, so basically, early next week, Marie, I think Monday and Tuesday, the provincial championship draws will be released. The National League fixtures were circulated on a draft basis to counties earlier this week. They were only meant for county officials' own information, but one by one, all those counties' fixtures kind of leaked out. Now, they're all provisional, but what we've ascertained really is that the likes of Dublin, Cork and Down won't have any home games as a result of their COVID breaches, while Monaghan will lose one home advantage game, we believe, as well. But I think the master fixtures in terms of senior adults, Counter County, will be released early next week once the provincial championship draws are known. I would imagine the two of them will be aligned, Marie. And it can't come quick enough, because now the text that comes into my phone every day is, when will the club go back?
And that's just from me,
is it?
You
can't confirm anything like that. Yeah, just from you, Marie, just yourself and Billy. So I'm hearing, like, hopefully mid to late May, but, like, again, there's no clarity. And challenge matches, can they be played at the moment? We don't believe so until early May at the very earliest, when the government revisit the restrictions. So I think look forward to next week. Fixtures released then. And thank God we're getting some games anyway. That is the most important thing at this juncture.
It really is. Damien Lawler, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Donica, that is all we have time for.
Very good. The brilliant Taris Short is up next. A massive thank you to John Farrell, Daniel and Laura Lee. We're back tomorrow at 6.
Have your dinner ready in a flash with Green Farm's new high-protein cooked chicken breast fillets. Available in selected stores nationwide.